David Huckfeldt of the Pines recently released his first solo album, the title track Stranger Angels. It grew out of time spent as an artist-in-residence on Isle Royale National Park in 2017. He joins us now to talk about that experience and the new album, as well as about a special event coming up in Minneapolis in just a few weeks. Welcome to the Roadhouse, David Huckfeldt.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's a pleasure to be on. Pleasure to talk to you.
Yes, indeed, sir. And you, I presume, are down in the mini Twin City. How's the weather down there, David?
You know, it's not bad. It's a little bit better if you can actually see the big lake. So I wish I was in Grand Marais tonight, but Minneapolis is doing just fine.
Well, you're here in spirit, certainly here in voice, and it's dark out. We've just had an interview about daylight saving time, and now that we're on standard time, have you adapted yet? Have you still got a bit of jet lag?
You know, I think there's actually been a great horned owl in my neighborhood. I live near a big park, and so the only change I really know is that he's starting to do his call a little bit earlier. So I think he's trying to help me get on board with daylight savings.
Yeah, well, you must have a certain ear and a certain eye for nature. You spent, a better part of 2 weeks on Isle Royale in 2017 as the National Park Service Artist in Residence. Tell us about that program and, boy, really, how you got it.
Well, I can't say enough good things about Isle Royale itself, but also, you know, the rangers and the folks that administer the artist residency program. I mean, they know very well that Isle Royale is the least visited national park in the lower 48 states, and they also know that it's one of the most beautiful by far. So the artist program kind of helps bridge the gap and gets photographers and painters, poets, artists of all kind out to the island to take in the solitude, the mystique, the shipwrecks, the fisheries, and the wildlife, and just try, without any strings attached, they really just let you process those things, be there. And for me, it worked out especially well to have time away from touring, from music business. And I ended up writing 16 songs in 14 days, a little cabin on Scoville Point. So I'll be forever grateful to Isle Royale for that opportunity.
What time of year were you out there?
I selected the very last, the last part that the park is open. So essentially the first 2 weeks of September, the last boat really leaves about September 15th or 16th, for visitors. So they start to shut the park down. Once again, I think it's the only park that shuts down in the wintertime in the lower 48. So there's always special circumstances, but, the thimbleberries are ripe at the end of August, beginning of September, so that was a plus.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago then, about these times, these very same days you must have been reminiscing a month ago. Now, so that was 2017. Was it a competitive process, David? Was there, application pools and you were nervously waiting for the news?
Well, I think, if you play music for a living, you're used to waiting for all kinds of news. So I just, I submitted an application. I understand they get a lot of them, but I don't know that they get many songwriters. Maybe they're starting to now. And of course, this program is coast to coast in 30 or 40 national parks nationwide. So I have a feeling that it was competitive. And when I got that letter, I was just really humbled and really grateful. And I knew I wanted to use the time very wisely, and the minute I got on that boat, I just shifted my mind to creativity, and that's what an artist needs to survive today.
So, talk about that. When you were out there for 2 weeks, what were you doing during the day? Were you just writing or enjoying nature? Tell us about that.
That's a good question because usually these, you might get a day here or a day there, and it's really hard as a writer to get into a rhythm. So with 14 days out there, I could kind of structure bookend the day with being out outdoors with hiking. some meditating in the morning. I had to filter the water. I had to build a fire because it was chilly. And then I would start in and write, you know, 4 hours or so in the morning and take a big break to go either paddling or to some part of the island I hadn't been. Because if you're just, you know, if you're in a cabin the whole time, I think you're kind of missing out. But then I'd come back in the evening and work into the late hours. And at night, the nights were my favorite because at night I had a little bench outside my cabin. And I brought, you know, some food, but I brought more books and notebooks than I did food. And I also brought a pretty big bottle of Jim Beam whiskey. And so I would sit on the bench and listen to my recordings and sip a little bit of whiskey while I watched the Northern Lights and Shooting Stars and Freighters. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the days had a nice natural rhythm to them. It was pretty comfortable.
But now you said 16 songs in 14 days is what you wrote, right?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. Is that normal?
I wish it was normal. It seems very abnormal. You know, sometimes stars align. I had some things started that I could really dig into up there. And once I completed a few, just new idea after new idea kept coming in. And especially, you know, the only time I was interrupted, it wasn't by the Park Service. It was a German tourist who had wandered off the trail and was very lost. And he, instead of saying hello, he just knocked on my cabin door really loud. And I pretty much fell off my chair because I was so accustomed to being alone. So
sure.
I wish I could write 16 songs every, you know, in a couple weeks. But the conditions have to be right. It's kind of like alchemy in that sense.
Now, talk about the song that we just heard, Stranger Angels. The music video is dedicated to the Rangers and volunteers, and especially of Isle Royale, but you also said to other national parks. Did you have the idea for that music video when you wrote the song, or did that come to you afterwards?
Well, you know, it came to me while I was on the island because I had a great honor and privilege to meet the head of the Wolf Moose Research Study Program, Rolf Peterson, from Michigan Tech University, and his wife, Carolyn. I spent an afternoon with them just talking and visiting, and they showed me some footage of their night cameras that they set up. And especially I was struck, you know, this couple has been on Isle Royale every year for 38 years. They care so deeply. They know the place so intimately. And in the hands of experts, it's like people know how to be good stewards of things. So after they showed me the footage, I thought, you know, these animals kind of in the dark, they reminded me of strange angels dancing around, doing their own thing. And I definitely wanted to show that because that was a big hook for me. Being on the island was all the life that needs to be protected, the water, and, you know, the gratitude to having wilderness places that, you know, that we can go visit.
Neat.
Well, let's talk about the wilderness and the wild and the moose and the wolf. And did you see much wildlife, David?
You know, the thing is, this was my third time making it to Isle Royale. The first time I went with actually a Grand Portage band member named Rick Anderson, who used to work on the ferry line. The second time I went was maybe 5 years ago, and I heard in Chippewa Harbor one night, we heard wolves, and it was the first time in my life I ever heard a wolf in the wild. It was incredible. And then when I went out this time, of course, they explained to me very quickly that the ratio was approximately 1,700 moose and 2 wolves. So the likelihood was minuscule. I mean, everywhere I went, I saw signs of moose. And I think we were keeping different hours because I think I was inside when they were outside moving around. But sandhill cranes, a lot of waterfowl, foxes, beaver, you know, a lot of sounds and noises in the night that I didn't even know what they were, mergansers and fish jumping. And yeah, the place is alive and well.
Oh, that's great. We're speaking with David Huckfeld of the Pines. He's recently released his first solo album entitled Stranger Angels. And it was inspired and penned, in fact, written on Isle Royale as a part of the Artist in Residence program of 2017. Was there any commitment to the Park Service, David, to produce art? Is there a clause in the program that you need to make an album, for example?
You know, they ask of you is two things, and one of which is to give some kind of a presentation or a community outreach program while you're there. And, you know, for me, it was natural to have a concert. And at any given time, you don't know how many people are actually on the island because it's so large and not concentrated. But I had a concert in the visitor center at Rock Harbor, and there was about 65 people, you know, better attended than some other shows I've done over the years. And that was a really great chance to play some of the brand new songs. And then the other thing they asked for is that you just donate one piece of art, one work of art to the park, for promotion. And I noticed that they had a lot of paintings, they had a lot of photographs, some poems, but they didn't really have any video that I saw, especially a music video. So I wanted to give them something they could use online to celebrate not just Isle Royale, but all the national parks as well.
Nice. And it looks like you've got a further engagement plan this coming November 21st, Thursday the 21st. You are a featured guest at a fundraiser for the park. If you'd like to touch on that, David?
Yeah, I mean, you know, something is happening, and, you know, it's not a new thing, but the arts start to intertwine with conservation. You know, in this moment, there's so many vulnerable places that need protecting, and quite often music is a tremendous partner in that endeavor. The concerts they had at Lake Superior in Duluth this summer to protect the boundary waters, all the way around the lake in Wisconsin and up in Canada, there's places where music plays a role. And so we're doing that in Minneapolis for Isle Royale on Thursday, November 21st. It's I'm going to play some songs that I wrote on the island and talk about the residency, and also the superintendent of Isle Royale, Phyllis Green, will be there to speak. I think this is her last year. So we're hoping we can get a good turnout, and they're trying to raise some funds to continue the wolf relocation program. And I know, you know, it's a controversial issue whether or not to intervene in that setting, but the arguments are compelling, and I think protecting it is on everybody's priority list. So, yeah, if anyone from that area up north happens to be in Minneapolis, it's at the Hook and Ladder Theater on Lake Street, South Minneapolis, 7 o'clock, I think, Thursday 21st.
That's right. Looks like a free event for the public, and donations encouraged. And that's right, the 7 o'clock. Thursday, November 21st, a great chance to see David Huckfeld of the Pines. And now, David, you sent us some suggested songs. I think I'll play As Below, So Above next, but could you set that song up for us and give us an idea of what it's all about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I can say without a doubt that the way you survive as a musician in 2019 is with your friends and your family. It's not a great time to go it alone because it's tough, you know, economically and artistically. So what happened is my grandmother, Wanda Marshall, was basically my best friend. on planet Earth, and she passed away several months before my residency. So when I was up there, of course, she was on my mind. I thought, you know, I could write a song about her. I had many ideas, but then I also felt along the Stranger Angels theme that I don't know where people go when they leave, you know, this life, but I don't think they go very far. So I decided I'd write a love letter to my grandmother because she still feels very much with me, you know, every day. And I think she knows what's going on probably better than I do. So as below, so above is basically my love letter to my grandmother.
Nice. Let's give it a listen.
Thank you.
David Huckfeldt, As Below, So Above, listening to the debut solo album, Stranger Angels, and even better, we've got David on the line talking about his experience on Isle Royale as an artist in residence in the fall of 2017. He'll be talking about that as well as performing on Thursday, November 21st, down in the Twin Cities at the Hook and Ladder Mission Room, 7 p.m. doors for a special fundraiser for Isle Royale. And a great chance to meet the living legend, David. You just have this aura about you now. You're famous. You're acclaimed. What's it like to kind of been making it and the Pines certainly catching everyone's attention? What's it like to be famous?
Oh, God, man. I wouldn't have the slightest idea. And in fact, to people, to my friends, especially the ones who have been up and played at Lutzen and at Mountain Stage when it's visited Graham Murray at the Folk School and Betsy Bowen's place. Like, I kid you not, we think of WTIP as like the Grand Ole Opry of the North. It's literally so many musicians I know, you guys have our favorite radio station. My friend Dave Simonette from Trampled by Turtles, he streams you guys, I think, every morning at home here in Minneapolis. And so where I'm sitting, you guys are more famous than me.
Nice.
It's true. And I think it basically what it is the survival of the individual, you know, and the original and the unique. There's not a station in the country quite like Grand Marais WTIP. And they work hand in hand with songwriters like myself who are not necessarily in pop music, and our ability to survive, you know. Just this next weekend I'll be performing up north in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, Ely, and Duluth with Annie Humphrey, Ojibwe singer-songwriter, and we're going to be on the radio every day, KAXE and WELY. They're essential to us to being able to tour, especially in more rural places, which is actually where we want to be as opposed to the cities. So, I don't know. I think we work hand in hand, and I'm very grateful for all that you guys do.
Oh, that's great. Now we're both blushing.
Good. Good.
Well, David, I was going to ask you now, you obviously sound like you've been here before, you've been around the Lake Superior region. Has this experience on Isle Royale, has it changed you in the sense of you seek more wilderness, more solitude? Have you done other retreats in the last couple of years?
You know, I went to Sleeping Bear National Lakeshore in Michigan. You know, what I learned from the Isle Royale experience is that it's always going to be necessary for me to find times to get away. And to go really deep that way with songwriting. But I also learned that, at this point in my life, I couldn't go and stay, you know, and I can't even go very often as I'd like, because I'm really, you know, I'm very much involved, touring wise and trying to, I don't know, shake down some different kinds of feelings in people. Maybe bring people together a little more than divide them apart. Maybe put some things of substance, at least in my view, into the world, and especially in smaller communities. I mean, I'd love to go, you know, I go camping plenty in the summertime, and I've been spending time in Arizona on the border in the winter. But, you know, at the two-week solitude visit is pretty luxurious, and in the meantime we're all in the trenches together, just trying to make the world a better place.
That sounds like a call to action, almost like you feel the urge to be with people versus in nature.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny too, it's kind of the story of my life, because I spent a little bit of time studying religion, and the monastic life always kind of appealed to me, but then I, you know, quickly realized that there's almost nothing in the world I like more than seeing my friends, and that I think if you have something you can share with the world, now's the time to share it, because It's not getting any easier out there. It's not getting any lighter. There's a lot of dark, heavy, urgent things that we have to deal with as a society. So the artist should be as working as hard as anyone else, I think.
That's so true, so true. Well, let's see, Jill, you got any last kind of, we're winding down. I was going to play one more song on the way out. We'll save that for the end.
Yeah. How about people who want to find out more about you, David? Do you have a website that they can go to?
I sure do. Yeah. It's davidhuckfeldt.com. The record is available to order there on CD and vinyl. And, of course, it's on all of the streaming services as well. Yeah, it's pretty easy to find. I'm on tour a lot the rest of the year. Like I said, this weekend in Grand Rapids, Ely, and Duluth, and some Minneapolis shows coming up as well. The last time we were in Grand Marais, we came in and did a session with Will Moore on the station, and Dave Simonette and I hatched a plan for a podcast called Dave and Dave Leave Town. And if we can get it together, I think Grand Marais will be our first stop.
Nice.
So it's inspired by WTIP. I hope we can make it happen sometime.
Oh, great. Yeah. And as a fellow Dave, you sure throw me in on the mix, because
Dave and Dave and Dave.
3 days.
Yeah.
I think Dave and Dave Leave Town is even better. Yeah, I like that.
Well, you two Daves come up and visit Dave in town, and that'll be the visit. And that'll be great, David. So we've got just one last recommended track we're going to play you out on. It is the False True Lover Blues. What's the story behind this one?
I'll be quick about it, but, you know, there's a lot of my friends on this record, Eric Koskinen and JT Bates and Jeremy Yovasucker. And anyway, I remember I told them before we even started, I said, you know what I'd love to do is I'd love to record a song at like 3 a.m. when everybody's really tired, and you can always tell that song on a record, like a Rolling Stones record or something. You just feel that it was the middle of the night. And so one night I was getting ready to go to sleep and go to bed, and they called me back into the studio and said it was time to do what I'd asked them. So False True Lover was recorded about 3:15 a.m. Jeremy had the flu. JT Bates, instead of playing drums, just plays like a pizza box, and it came out in one take.
Wow.
Oh, perfect one to end it on then, maybe.
I think so. Then it's time for everybody to go to bed.
All right. All right, David. Well, thanks so much for your time tonight on the Roadhouse, and you're up in the area touring, as you say. Folks can catch you over in Rapids soon, sounds like. And then down
next Thursday.
That's great. Down at the Hook and Ladder, Thursday the 21st, special fundraiser for the National Parks. And David Huckfeldt, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Dave and Jill. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Promise to make her cry. Dry your veil of tears with the scar tissue you choose. Like a singing dust bowl with the false true love blue. What is it you're missing? Did you show sure you were old? If you separated like a fool from his gold, better angels of our natures have some breaking news. I'm afraid it doesn't look good for the false true love blue. Practicing a songbook all the day. But if you want to practice being born, then start without delay. Everything you think you know comes up just shy true. End up mumbling underneath your breath, false true love blue.